Welcome back to This Working Droid. I'm your host, as always, Headphones Neil, bringing you episode number 119, Virtual Machine. So, let's say you've made that switch from Windows to, or let's say from Windows XP to Windows 7 or 8, or you've been using Linux or a Mac for some time, but there's that one or a few programs that you absolutely need Windows for and you don't want to buy a second machine to do it, or you find that the machine you have just doesn't support that other software that you want to use. Well, that's where the virtual machine comes in. So basically what it does is it lets you run one operating system in another one. So no matter which one you have, many of the clients that are out there are cross-platform. So if you're running Windows 7 and you want to, or you need to run Windows XP, you can do that. If you have a Mac or Linux, you can run Windows in those. Or if you have a Mac or Windows machine and you want to run Linux inside them, then you can do that as well. So basically, the idea behind virtual machines is there's a number of different uses. So the initial reason is that you have an older program that you need to use. It has not been updated in some time, or you find that that version has all the features you need and you just don't want to switch over. And I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, your web browser or email client or anything like that that are generally updated over time, but those one-off softwares are just that piece of software that you find that you prefer to use because it just works for what you need and there's no reason for you to upgrade. But you also need to keep getting newer computers because of other reasons, so you have to upgrade. So basically, I'll give an example of, this is probably slightly out of beyond necessity, but let's say you have a version of QuickBooks, let's say 2002, it works well for your business, you have it set up exactly how you want, you don't really want to upgrade because of the way your business or your finances are set up, but you also bought a new system and it's not necessarily compatible with Windows 7 because they no longer support it. Well, if you install Windows XP within your new Windows 7 machine, or let's say you built a new system and it's running Linux, then you can do that. Or you bought yourself a Mac laptop because you wanted it for its ability and features, but you still want to be able to run QuickBooks. You can install Windows XP and then install QuickBooks. You have the option to also include an internet connection if you so choose. It's not required, but basically not having an internet connection is relatively simple and straightforward because you don't have to, since it's boxed in its own environment, nothing can get in or out. It's its own encapsulated environment. Whatever happens there stays there, unless you need to copy files out or you need to export reports, let's say, from QuickBooks and put it onto your main machine that is the virtual machine is running on. Then you can, for example, map a driver, include a folder that's a shared folder, so you can open the your report on your main system. Another feature is, or as I sort of touched on, is the ability to run incompatible software. So let's say you are running Mac or Linux and you find that you have to have, for example, not necessarily Microsoft Office, but let's say in the same example, you want to run QuickBooks, but it's not supported on your Linux machine, then for the same reason, you can install Windows 7 or 8 or XP virtual machine, set it up, and install QuickBooks that way as well. So, and you can run in any version of Windows or Linux in other systems. It's not necessarily limited to one version of an operating system. The only limitation is the power of your system itself. So if you have a low-powered system, then you still have to make sure that you can only install the operating system that fits in those requirements and how much you put into the virtual machine. So basically, let's say you do have that Linux setup that you have going, you installed Windows 7, now you can install Windows software on that machine and have it in its own environment. So let's say you're just using QuickBooks itself and you're using OpenOffice in Linux, then exporting your reports can go from one system to another and you're good to go. You don't have to install any other software. The internet connection is still an optional feature, but can be set up. And the final reason, or general reason, I find for using a virtual machine is to check for program compatibility. So let's say you've bought a piece of software and you're not sure if it's going to work, or you want to see how it works on another system, or you have that piece of software already and you want to see how it's going to work on a new piece of a new operating system, for example, then you can set up that virtual machine and then install the software and see if it actually works. If it works, then you're good to go. If you see issues, then you can do the research, see if there's a fix for it or why those issues are happening, change those settings, and mess around and play around with it a little bit and make those adjustments. So setting up a virtual machine is a relatively a straightforward process. I've included a link to a free version of the software or virtual machine software called VirtualBox. Basically, after installing the software, you can have it's basically a step-by-step process. A few terms if you've never set up an operating system or built a system, maybe a little bit out of your league, but it's a pretty good tutorial and step-by-step process on getting it set up. So they'll tell you, all right, well, let's use the settings for a Windows XP system, a Windows 7 or Windows 8 or Linux, whatever system you're setting up, they'll use those common settings. And let's say file sizes and virtual sizes, you can determine how much of your hard drive you want to allocate to that machine, how much of your RAM you want to use while you're using that virtual machine, and all of that stuff. So those settings are very customizable. Settings can be changed after the fact, but that is a bit tricky. So if you're not sure how much you need or if you'll need more later, allocate a little bit more and make sure you have the space on your main machine as well for the larger file size. But other than that, usually the file sizes that they recommend are good enough. They'll recommend usually a little bit more than the minimum, but not necessarily the recommended or the maximum file sizes. So you can go on that or use it as a general gauge for what the common settings are and go from there. But if you're in the mood for building that new system, or if you're going to build that system and you're going to be using a VirtualBox setup, be sure to visit our friends over at Puget Systems. They'll let you customize your own computer so you can have something as simple and basic as using a computer for word processing and checking your email, or you can build a system that's as powerful as running the latest games, doing video editing, setting up a virtual box to run multiple operating systems, and all of that good stuff. So they have everything that you need. So be sure to visit geek-io.com/PUGET to get started on your new system today and be able to do whatever you need a computer to do for you. We thank them for their support, and we hope you show them your support as well. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, you can always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. And you can always find me on Twitter at PatelN01, where you can get all of my latest updates and interact with me there as well. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.